Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
Good evening, everybody. This is End Time Headlines, and I've got a devotional word I want to share with you tonight that I believe is going to be a tremendous blessing for somebody. So we're going to give everybody just a moment to jump on here, and we also have an exciting announcement to make as well regarding ministry announcements. So I'm going to share this as well. So that's what I'm doing right now. So just giving everybody just a moment to jump on here. And as you guys are hopping on here, I want to welcome all of our viewing audience. We want to welcome our Facebook Live audience. We want to welcome our YouTube audience. And we are now excited to announce that we are announcing that we want to welcome our podcast audience. So perhaps this is your first message that you'll hear from us on podcast. So now, you guys that are watching us by Facebook and by YouTube, you say, well, how do I get to it? Well, it is not yet completed yet. But by the time it's done, all these messages are going to be archived and they're going to be up on our podcast channel. So we'll give you more information on that when we get that out there. So again, we're just branching out more and hitting more more outlets. Again, we will be on Facebook Live, we'll be on YouTube, and now we will be on podcast as well. So Acts 16, guys, I want to get right to the message because I want to be respectful of your time. I believe this is a word for somebody. Two nights ago, I was in my devotional studying the Word of God, and this leaped off the pages at me in Acts chapter 16. I want to deal with the subject called When God Uses Your Trials and attacks to reach the lost. Now, if this is your first time joining us via by YouTube, by Facebook Live, or by podcast, please let us know where you're joining us from, your location. If you're new, let us know that. Wave to us. Give us a little emoticon to let us know that you're new or you're a first-time viewer. And I hope and pray that you're blessed by this message tonight. So here we are in Acts 16. I'm going to give you a little bit of a backdrop. Acts 16:16. That's real easy to remember. Acts 16:16. A little bit of a backdrop here. Paul and Silas, they're going about and preaching the gospel here. And as they're going about bringing the good news, bringing the gospel, there was a certain, according to the word of the Lord, a certain slave girl that was possessed with a spirit. And she had a spirit of divination. She was following and she was irritating these men of God. So the Bible says that as they traveled on, this girl followed Paul and cried out. She followed Paul and Silas here and cried out, quote, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Now, it's interesting that this is a spirit speaking through this slave girl. And what she says, or should I say it says, is truth. Did you know that the devil can speak? He can actually say things that are truth. And it was absolutely true. These men were servants of the Most High, and they were proclaiming the way of salvation. Who can refute that? But listen what the Apostle Paul says. It says that he was greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And the Spirit came out that very hour. And when the masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Now, it's interesting to note here that no one touched Paul and Silas. No one came after them. They weren't threatened. They were not a threat to anyone until, come on, what they did and what they preached reached the pocketbooks, come on somebody, of those of authority and those in a position of authority and those who had influence. So once Come on. Once the message of the gospel impacted their checkbook, impacted their money, and come on, their way of living, well, then it crossed the line. It never crossed the line what they were preaching until, come on, their way of profit was removed. And your Bible says, as a result of this, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities, brought them before the magistrates, and declared that these men were troubling the city and teaching customs which were not lawful. Now, if I was Paul and Silas, I would have said, well, hold on. Where were you guys? Because when you begin to study this, where were you guys 2 days ago, 3 days ago, when we were proclaiming the gospel, when we were preaching, come on, in the streets and preaching in the corner and preaching in the marketplace? Nobody had any problem until we, come on, turned the tables and flipped over your prophet. See, you want to know why Jesus was hated so much by the Jews and hated so much by the Jews in his day, howbeit especially, I shouldn't even say that. Let me back up and reiterate that. He was hated by the religious Jewish leaders. So let me emphasize that. He was hated by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law, not by the common people. Because you'll discover when you read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you read through the book of Acts, same goes with Jesus as it did the disciples. Watch this. The common people, come on, the common people loved Jesus. They loved the disciples. But it was the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the Sadducees, they were the ones who had a problem with both Jesus and his followers. And let me give you a couple reasons why. Number one, is it because it disrupted their agenda? You study it out. I don't want to go through all this. I don't have time to go through every scripture in the book of Acts and show you how the apostles disrupted their agenda, destroyed their agenda, and destroyed their influence because they came with a gospel of signs, wonders, and miracles. Come on, they came preaching a Jesus that healed, set free, and raised the dead and cast out devils. This is why when Jesus came along and he started casting out devils, he started raising the dead, he started performing miracles, they said within themselves, who could this man be? He is one who comes and preaches with authority. So they couldn't stop him. They couldn't shut him up because of the people. Come on, because of the mass of the common people. The common people loved him. The common people embraced him. The common people went out from the cities, from Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts. Come on, they began to come out like they did John the Baptist. They came out from all the regions to hear what he had to say. They brought their sick. They brought their lame. They brought the demon possessed that needed a healing and needed a touch of Jesus. And they brought, come on, they brought those who were afflicted, those who were bound, and those who needed the gospel. They brought them out of, come on, houses of death. They brought them out of the synagogues, come on, where nobody had any power, nobody had any authority, nobody had any influence, nobody could cast out a devil, nobody could set anybody free, nobody could raise the dead. So no wonder everybody fled, come on, from the normal and went to the radical. Come on, how you think John the Baptist had such a crowd and never had social media? He never had a bullhorn. He never had posters. He never had television. He never had shortwave radio. He never had, come on, he never had any of these things. What he was a voice crying in the wilderness, and the voice, God himself supernaturally amplified his voice because of the message that he was proclaiming, which was repent, come on, and prepare, come on, the Bible says he preached a message of preparing the way of the Lord. It's amazing how how God can take a nobody and make them a somebody if their heart is in tune with Him and is right with Him, and their motive is to prepare the way of the Lord. Their motive is not to build a platform. Their motive is not to get a following. Their motive is not to get recognition. Their motive is not to be in the spotlight or to be a superstar, but their motive is to reach a lost and dying generation with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, I'm telling you, God Himself will move heaven and earth to get you from the wilderness, come on, from the deserts to, come on, a place where people can hear what you've got to say, because your message is pure and the motive is pure behind that message. So here we have Paul and Silas, who's preaching the gospel here in the streets. And nobody had a problem with it until it began to disrupt the normal. Come on, it began to disrupt the agenda. It began to disrupt influence, and it began to hit them and their pocketbook because they lost, come on, their way of profit. Notice they didn't rejoice that the woman got set free from a demonic spirit, but they became angry. And they brought them in the street, and they begin to beat them. They begin to scourge them. And your Bible says, after laying many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And the Bible says they put them into the inner prison. Notice they didn't put them on the outer prison, but the inner prison. Why? Because it was more confined. It was more secure. And there was less. Because see, come on somebody, the apostles had a reputation with getting put in prison and getting put in jail, but supernaturally getting broke out. Come on somebody, they try to put Peter in a jail cell and put him chained up between with some prison guards, but an angel showed up in the middle of the night and supernaturally set him free and put him out in the courtyard. You had some men, come on, the disciples began to preach and proclaim the gospel. They were threatened and severely threatened, but the common folk rose up and began to make a dispute, and the Bible says that out of the fear of a riot breaking out, they had to be forced to set the men free. So there was already a reputation going around in Jerusalem that when we try to lock these men up and we try to shut them up and we try to shut them down and we try to close them down and try to cut off their voice and shut down this gospel in which they preach, it doesn't seem to have very much effect. It doesn't seem to go out very well. It doesn't seem to turn out good. They somehow end up breaking out of prison. You have supernatural encounters. Angels are showing up. Come on, somebody. Riots are breaking out. And here we go again. So they take Paul and Silas, not learning their lesson. They tried to shut them up, lock them up, seal them down, lock them away. They put them in prison. And the whole time, and here's where I want to get to. Here's the part that I want to talk about tonight, because I know y'all tuned in to hear, how's God going to use my trial and use my attack to reach the lost? See, here's what I want to tell you. Paul and Silas, when they got locked up and chained up, notice how they responded. And I want you to show you something else here. There's a couple things I want to show you. Number one, here's how they responded. They didn't gripe. They didn't groan. They didn't complain. They didn't murmur. They didn't throw in the towel. They didn't say, I guess that's the end of the road, guys. I guess we call it quits. I guess we shouldn't have preached. I told you. You didn't hear Silas saying, well, Peter, or I'm sorry, Paul, I told you not to cast that devil out of that woman. Why couldn't you just tolerate what she was saying? Woo, man, I felt the Holy Ghost just hit me when I said that. See, we got a lot of ministries and preachers that tolerate a lot of things in the church because they don't want to make a disruption. Oh, come on, somebody. They'll tolerate false doctrine. They'll tolerate tickling ears. They'll tolerate not disrupting the worship team or the praise team. They'll tolerate a message of complacency or mediocrity because they don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to flip the tables. They don't want to risk hitting the pocketbook of the big tithers of the church. So, listen, we want to keep those big tithers happy. We want to keep them comfortable. After all, they're lining our pockets. They're helping us keep our platform. They're helping us keep on the radio. They're helping us keep it on Christian television. They're helping us keep big and large and the biggest and the best and the greatest and have the biggest platform and have the biggest spotlight. So Silas didn't say, Paul, why couldn't you just compromise and not say anything about this woman being demon possessed? Couldn't you just tolerated her being bound? Come on, do I got anybody else out there that is tired of churches tolerating people being bound and being afflicted and being vexed? Come on, somebody. Bound by drugs, bound by alcohol, bound by sexual immorality. They're coming into our churches. They're looking for help. They're seeking deliverance. They're seeking breakthrough. But we don't want to preach a gospel that can actually set them free or present the presence of God with an anointing that breaks the yoke. Instead, we want to make them comfortable in their addiction, comfortable in their spirit that they're carrying, comfortable in their bondage. But Paul said, it's an annoyance to me. Come on. When you see people bound and afflicted, does it annoy you that the devil's got a grip on them? That the devil's got them in bondage? Or do you tolerate it? So this is how my mind's thinking about this message. They're chained in a prison. What are they talking about? What's their conversation? Nobody's blaming each other. Come on, that's how Christian, I'm telling you, I know how Christians are. You let a pastor get up and you let him preach a message so hard that it causes him and his whole congregation to get locked up. I'm telling you, God's honest truth, those same sheep that shepherd was over will love him. They loved him yesterday, but I'm going to tell you, by the end of the night when they're in prison, they're going to start pointing their fingers at somebody and it's going to go to that shepherd and they're going to say, if you would have just kept your mouth shut, we would have not been in here. We could have been at home. We could have been watching the game. We could have been watching our reality television program that we always want to watch. We could have been comfortable at home, in our easy chair, taking a nap, reading a book. No, but now we're in prison because you had to be radical. And you had to step out and stir the pot. But no, it says that Paul and Silas, they were praying and they were singing hymns to God. So first of all, I want to tell somebody tonight, I don't know what your trial is. I don't know what your attack is. I don't know what your chains are. I don't know what your affliction is right now. But the key to getting out of it is praying and it's worshiping God. Look, guys, I'm telling you, every single time I go through a trial, every single time I go through an affliction, every single time I get under an attack, something's going on. You could listen, every single time, I've got a worship playlist that I put on shuffle and I will put it on my stereo system and then I start marching the floor and I begin to pray. I begin to decree. I begin to declare. I begin to speak, thus saith the Lord. I'll walk through the living room floor and I'll walk through my basement floor and I'll begin to declare the promises of God that are yes and amen to those who believe. I'll begin to declare that no weapon formed against against me is going to prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment thou shalt condemn. There's times I'll pull out my journal and I'll begin to declare and I'll begin to decree the very words that's been spoken over me through prophecy and by the laying on of hands in seasons past, and I'll begin to speak them out, and I'll begin to say, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've already given me a word. I don't care what it looks like. I know I might be in chains. I know I might be in fetters. I know I might be in darkness. I know I might be in a valley right now, but David said, though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I know I'm in an isolated place, but God, I know beyond this, tomorrow's going to come. The cloud's going to break. The storm's going to end. Come on, somebody. And eventually, I'm going to come out on the other end, because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, He delivers us out of them all. So then I will shift from a time of prayer and decreeing the word of the Lord, and then I'll just turn on some worship music and just begin to worship Him and thank Him for, come on, for the victory. I'll praise Him, come on, with the hand of victory. I'll praise Him through the battle already with victory in mind. Lord, I thank you that I'm coming through. I thank you that you've delivered me in the past, and you'll deliver me in the present, and you'll deliver me in the future. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are faithful, that you are true, and though I don't understand why this has happened, why did you allow this to happen, but there's got to be a greater purpose, and at the end of the day, you're going to show yourself out and show yourself through in Jesus' name. Now watch this. Here's what's interesting. Most of you's heard that preached. Most of you already know. If you've been in church anytime, any length of time, you've heard this message. Well, in some way, some form or fashion, you've heard it preached. You know, Paul and Silas had the first jail time. Come on, Jailhouse Rock. Come on, they broke the debut of Jailhouse Rock because they sung praises to God and God set them free. We've all heard that message. But let me give you a different angle tonight. And let me just get through this because this is where we're at. Paul and Silas were singing hymns to God and they were praying. But here, listen to this next part that I never heard preached in my almost 20 years of ministry and serving the Lord. I've never heard a minister home in on this. I'm not saying they've never had. I've never heard them preach this. And that's the next part of this. Go look again, look at Acts 16:25. Look at the next verse. Here's what it says. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Listen to the next part. And the prisoners were listening to them. Now, when I read this, I underlined this in my Bible because in my devotion, this is what the Holy Spirit highlighted, and this is what He had me preach to somebody tonight via by YouTube, by Facebook, or by podcast. However you're watching this, this is for somebody. Whatever your trial is, whatever your tribulation is, whatever your chain, whatever your shackle, and whatever your dilemma is right now, the Lord, we know this for certain, God has allowed it. I said God has allowed it. The enemy may have performed it. It may have been something you got yourself into. It may be just life, friends. Life just happens. Not everything is the devil. Come on. But nevertheless, you're in a prison. You're in some chains. You're in some bondage. You're in a pit. And you may be saying, and you may have never thought about what I'm about to share with you. If you are a believer in Christ, you could take it to the bank, whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a spouse, whether it's your children, whether it's an audience, if you're a minister of the gospel, you've got people listening, you've got people of influence, you're a person of influence, people's watching. There is eyes and ears watching you and how you respond to your situation. Let me say it again. Paul and Silas at midnight were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And your Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, now listen to this, the keeper of the prison, awakening from his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to take his own life. And Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling. This is the keeper of the prison, fell down before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs," listen to this, "what must I do to be saved?" Now we can attribute this man's desire to be saved to the earthquake, the supernatural that took place. No doubt, I'm not taking anything away from that. But how about all the prisoners? Let me get through this, and I want to go back. I want to home in. Somebody say prisoners, plural. Watch this. So he says, what must we do? Listen, he says, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Somebody needs to highlight that passage right there. Listen, if you don't have any promise and any scripture that you've memorized, you need to memorize that one. If you've got family members under your roof, if you got bloodline, come on, that are not serving God, they're away from God, they're lost, you need to start, you need to underline that scripture. Pray that every single day. Pray for them. Lord, I thank you that you said if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then me and my whole household shall be saved. I said they shall be saved. They might not be. They not could be, not would be, not are to be. That's a Kentucky slang term right there anyway. Are to be. Are to be. All you Southerners know what I'm talking about. You are to be watching this message right now because it's going to be a good message. Come on, that's just a little humor here. But listen, that's a powerful word or promise to you and your family. But listen what he says. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and they washed Paul and Silas' stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now, watch this. Notice it homed in on the jail keeper and his family. But I'm going to ask you a question. What about the prisoners? Over here it says the prisoners were listening. It never tells us what happened to the prisoners. Did they die in the earthquake? Did they remain in prison? Or could it be possible? I have no way of documenting this or proving this. I could search through early church writings or Jewish history, whatever, but I'm probably not going to find it. But I propose to you what I'm trying to emphasize to you today. Whatever trial you're in, whatever affliction you're in, whatever trouble you're in, whatever pit you're in, you could take it to the bank that somebody out there is watching you, listening to you, and seeing how you respond. And the way you respond will either, watch this, repulse them, or it will attract them to what's on the inside of you that they want to hear. Golly, somebody. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, everywhere you go. I remember one time I was at Walmart. Some of y'all have heard this story before, but I'm going to reiterate this. I remember I was at a Walmart one time, and I was getting I had a propane tank that I wanted to get. I was buying a brand new propane tank. And at Walmart, you have to go and find somebody, and they have to go get a key, and they have to go to this propane tank cage, and they have to get the tank out, and they give it to you, and you purchase it, and all that, yada, yada, yada. So I'll go to the cage at Walmart, and this was in Tennessee, and I was there, and I went to the cage. There was somebody there, and they said, oh, well, we don't have the key. We're going to go back and get the key. So they went back and got the key. 10 minutes goes by, 15 minutes goes by. I'm like, my goodness, where did they go get the key made from scratch? What is taking so long? And finally somebody comes back and they say, we're sorry, we apologize, but we can't find the key. And I'm like, okay, so what do I do? And they said, well, we're going to contact somebody else and we're going to try to see if we can find the key. So another 10 minutes go by, 25 minutes I'm sitting there waiting. Finally a supervisor comes and says, if you we're such and such up at the front counter. You need to go to customer service, and she is going to give you the key at customer service. And I'm thinking, why would I need to go to customer service to get the key to the propane cage when you guys should be doing that, not me? But nevertheless, so I'm already, come on, the Tabasco sauce is already coming up my legs. I'm already feeling the Italian in me start rising up. Come on, somebody. And so I go up to the customer service desk, and man, I'm telling you, it's stewing. I'm like, my goodness, what in the world is going on? And so 30 minutes has passed, and I'm telling you, the flesh of me wanted to really, and I'm not saying I would cuss, because I don't, the Lord has really delivered me on that. To God be the glory, when I got saved 19 years ago, you can ask my wife, she would testify to you, I don't struggle in that area with swearing and with cussing. Okay, but you can raise your voice and you can get an attitude and you not cuss and it be just as sinful. Hello? Come on. I know some of y'all yell through your windshield in traffic. Come on. I'm preaching to you now. I'm preaching to somebody, some of y'all right now. But here's my point. So I am about to say something because this is ridiculous. This is like, really? You know, I'm going through all this. And right about the time I could feel this getting ready to come out, I felt like a check from the Holy Spirit say, watch your tongue. Watch this, because somebody is always watching. So I said, okay. So I kept my cool. Y'all should be proud of me. I kept my cool. They gave me the key. As she was giving me the key, I heard a voice behind me say, Brother Ricky, how are you doing? And I turned around, and lo and behold, there was somebody from the church that I was attending, and they were right behind me. Now you listen to me. If I would have listened to my flesh, gave into that, and had a little bit of a flesh fit right there, they would have witnessed that, and I would have, come on, lost my witness to them, and they would have seen that, and they would have remembered that. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. But because I was being subjected to the Spirit, I was walking by the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of my flesh, come on, I passed the test. And I'm telling you, after I said hi to them and we talked for a few minutes and they went on, I was walking to the cage and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I started laughing. I was like, yeah, I would have blew it right there. But listen, don't miss what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Here's the point I'm trying to make to you. I don't know what you're going through. And you say, well, you don't even get it. If you knew what I was going through, the troubles, the trials, the marital issues, the kids, the financial problems, the pain in my body, the bills that I've got stacked up, all the people I deal with on a daily basis at my job and at the church, and the complaints and this and that. Oh yes, trust me guys, we could go out to a coffee shop and talk 4 hours about it if we really wanted to. But I'm trying to tell you that whatever you're in and whatever your trial is, there are people watching. They might be little ears and little eyes watching you. I'm talking about your kids. Your children are watching. Or they may be, come on, they may be your your people in your church. They may be your pastor. They may be, come on, people that you influence every single day in some form or fashion. But people are watching to see how you respond. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. Here is the key. If you want to win people to the Lord, it's not so much what you preach. I could preach all day long and preach to the choir, but I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says of Jesus that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed, come on, of the devil. So while Paul and Silas were in prison in chains, they were praising God. They were worshiping God. And your Bible says the prisoners were listening to them. Now, could you imagine their conversation? What in the world are these guys happy about? What are these guys singing about? Why are they glorifying somebody they can't see? Why are they praying to somebody that they can't see? How are they this excited and happy and praising and worshiping God when they're in chains? They're in are these idiots not realizing where they're at? There's sewage in here. There's rats in here. We don't get any food in here. We don't get a shower in here. Are they not getting the circumstance where they're at? But friends, I'm going to tell you, the Apostle Paul said, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you ready for this? You want to know where he wrote that? When he wrote that in the epistle, he was sitting in chains, in prison, in sewage, in darkness. Come on, while he was probably likely about to go on death row, writing letters. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I'm trying to tell you, friends, God is allowing circumstances and trials, and you never know who's going to come to you. Listen, about 2 weeks ago, I hurt my back. I was mowing the yard. I slipped. My feet slipped, and I slammed down on my feet. And man, I'm telling you, if you've ever had sciatica flare up, I had it in both sides. I mean, it was rotating back and forth. I'm talking about unbelievable pain. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't focus. I was getting mad. I was about to rebuke the devil and rebuke the fire out of him. I couldn't get in my Bible. I couldn't study. I couldn't study the way I wanted to because the pain was so, if anybody's ever been in pain like it, you know what I'm talking about? It's hard to focus. It's hard to maintain a focus because of the pain and because of the agony of that. And I began to pray and I began to just do everything I could, just kept doing these stretches. This I eventually went to the chiropractor, which was yesterday. I went to the chiropractor, broke down and went there. Now listen to this. Here I am. My circumstances brought me to a chiropractor, and while I was there getting adjusted for something that I didn't foresee coming, I didn't desire to be there, I didn't want to be there, but somehow I ended up being there, and the circumstances led to me being positioned to that place. But here's what was interesting is I went there, and while I was there, I walked in. And I know one of the first things I noticed was Christian music being played. And so I'm sitting and I'm talking to the secretary and I said, all right, I've got to say something. She's like, and she looked at me like, uh-oh, is he going to get offended because it's Christian music? Because that's, I mean, isn't that the going rate right now? You know, you get a whole business shut down because you get offended because of the music that's being played, even though it's not your business. Hello. But I said, all right, I gotta ask you something. I hear Christian music, and you could tell her face is kind of like, someone, this has got to be either a Christian-owned and operated business, or someone in this building's got to be a Christian, because you don't just play Christian music to play Christian music. She started laughing, her face radiated, and she said, yes, my husband and I are both Christians, and we are a Christian-owned and operated chiropractors, my goodness. And I said, wow, praise God. And I said, well, I'm a minister of the gospel myself. And so I began to talk about our ministry of End Time Headlines, and they were very intrigued. So the whole time I'm being adjusted by the chiropractor, him and I are bouncing off one another. He starts talking about the human body, and he starts talking about certain things about the nervous system, and that, you know, and I was kind of tying in with the Word of God, and it's amazing how God created the human body. But then I started, listen to this, I started talking to him about the signs of the coming of the Lord. So he began to, he said, yeah. And of course he brought up, you know, no man knows the day nor the hour. And I said, that's true, brother. And then I started to expound a little bit about what Jesus meant by we will know the seasons in which we're in. I talked about the sons of Issachar, and it opened up, and he was so intrigued by this. He was excited about this. So it was iron sharpening iron. What am I trying to say? Is God, you never know what the setup is going to be. Come on, I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself. It's happened so many times. I didn't want to get stuck in traffic, but God turned it out for my good. I didn't want to have to go to the doctor, but God turned it out for my good. I didn't want to have to go to the certain restaurant that I didn't want to eat at, but lo and behold, I get there, and the waitress that I'm talking to is the person that needs to hear the gospel or needs to hear a word of encouragement. The list goes on and on and on. You realize, guys, that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And that word ordered in Hebrew means set up. They're set up. Paul and the whole thing was set up. Paul did the right thing. He didn't do the wrong thing by casting a devil out of somebody, because Jesus already commanded him to cast out devils in Jesus' name. So the Lord already knew how these people were going to respond. But come on, but he works out all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So here's what I want to tell you right here. You, believe it or not, whether you realize it or not, you're sowing seed by how you respond in your trials. Let me say that again before we close tonight on this broadcast. You are sowing seed unknowingly. You're sowing seed by how you respond in your trials. Let that soak in tonight. And I pray that the Lord really lets that soak into your spirit tonight, into your heart. So we're going to close this broadcast tonight with that, but we're going to pray for some folks. So again, I want to thank everybody here on Facebook Live, you by YouTube, by podcast. If you would like, listen, before we pray, if you'd like to support our ministry, if you'd like to follow us, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You guys on Facebook Live, you're going to see the link right there under Facebook Live. Just click on the link. You guys on YouTube, just visit our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You guys on podcast, again, that's our main website. You can go there, click on our main website, and it's going to take you to, you can subscribe to push notifications. You can subscribe to Daily Digest. And again, if you appreciate this ministry, it exhorts you, it edifies you, it encourages you, it informs you, and you'd like to be a partner of this ministry, maybe a monthly partner or just a one-time gift or whatever the case may be, we want to give you the opportunity to sow as the Lord places and purposes in your heart to give. And we just, again, from the bottom of our heart, from all of us here at End Time Headlines, we appreciate your giving. We appreciate your support and your partnership to this ministry. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every individual under the sound of my voice that are watching, that are listening, however via by whatever platform they're listening to tonight. We ask, Father, that you would begin to use their circumstance for your glory. God, I don't know what trial, what affliction, what chain, and what bondage or what pit they may be in tonight, but God, I thank you that you're working all things together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Lord, I thank you that ears and eyes are watching and listening to them, and as long as they continue to praise you and worship you and pray, they begin, and as long as they continue to do this and shut the door on the devil and begin to stay in alignment with what your word says and do what you command us to do, Lord, you will come through supernaturally. You have a reputation of supernaturally showing up in circumstances that are out of our control. You showed up with an angel and took the chains off Peter and set him in the courtyard. You showed up in an earthquake and setting Paul and Silas free. You showed up as an angel that shut up the mouths of the lions in the lion's den with Daniel. You came and you sat in the fiery furnace as the fourth man with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you supernaturally protected them to the point where they didn't even smell like smoke. You preserved a man that got swallowed up by a whale to the point where he was sped up on the beach again. Lord, you have a reputation to show up and show out right in the very midst of our trials and our circumstances. And when you do, there is always somebody watching and listening that is getting seed sown in their heart. For your word says that one sows and the other waters, but it's God who gives the increase. And Lord, I already thank you in advance for the souls that will come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because they witnessed us and how we came through our storms and came through our circumstances and came through our trials and came out on the other side with a testimony that we could share with them that would glorify you, Father. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Amen and amen. So God bless you guys. Again, thank you everyone here on podcast, YouTube, and Facebook for joining us for this special broadcast. Again, you guys that are in anywhere close to Cordon, Indiana, this Saturday night, we will be ministering there at Cornerstone Community Church in Cordon, Indiana. You can go to their Facebook page. You can get information there for all the directions and everything else. We'll be ministering there at 6 p.m. Eastern time. You can find all that information on our ETH Facebook page. We posted that up there as well. If you're interested in being a part of those and part of that gathering, we want to welcome you and we want to encourage you to be a part of that. We will be broadcasting that on Saturday night. I'm looking forward to ministering this Saturday night at 6 p.m. Eastern via by live on Facebook and there in person as well. So God bless you guys. We love you. We'll see some of you on Saturday and we'll see the rest of you next week.